Hello there, and welcome to episode 3 of the Nothing But Respect podcast. I'm your host, OC, and today I'll be joined by Bruce, Hunter, and Stevie. We'll take a look at Celtic crashing out of the UEFA Champions League to Swedish side Malmo, what that means for the season coming ahead, and who's to blame. Is it the players? Is it the board? Or is it Ronnie Dyla? Welcome to episode 3 of Nothing But Respect, an unofficial Celtic Football Club podcast. So last night, Celtic were put out of the Champions League. They went out with a whimper, to be fair. They lost 2-0 to Swedish champions Malmo. Goals in the first and second half. Today I'm joined by Bruce, Hunter and Stevie. And we'll discuss where it went wrong and how Celtic can go forward from this. So as you were cut off in your prime last week, I'll introduce Stevie first and let him have his say in the game. Stevie, what did you make of last night?
I know that'd be, well, my usual negative self, but I can't really do anything about it. It was an absolute disgrace. Really, really poor stuff. And I guess, I don't know, has Dyla even learned anything since the Legia Warsaw and Maribor stuff? Because it didn't really look like it last night to me. It was as devoid and as shambolic as I've seen. And just watching the game, I was at, I think, 60 minutes or so. When I saw the absolute state of the team and how much they gave up, I was absolutely readied for them. I don't know about you, though.
Bruce?
No, I agree. Everybody knows I'm an eternal optimist when it comes to Celtic, but last night was shambolic. And for me, the buck stops with the players. For every single one of them let themselves down badly last night. Players that you'd expect a big performance off of. But my better players, so-called, didn't get it. I think we were all quite happy that Izaguirre was out of the team, even if it meant Mulgrew had to play. And Mulgrew put up even less resistance than Izaguirre usually does. And considering Malmo, their manager, their players, had basically done Dyla's team talk for them all last week and all this week, the players weren't up for it at all, and that's just embarrassing in my opinion. It's gross misconduct. They're all in breach of contract. And if I'd sack them all, to be honest. That's going a bit far, but they all deserve to be reprimanded, apart from Craig Gordon, who, again, stopped us for an absolute tour. We keep saying in the league we're due to hammer a team, but we're due an absolute destroying in Europe if we keep playing like that.
Hannah, what's your opening thoughts?
Just a total and utter shambles. Much like both the guys have said, just a total shambles. I think everyone to a man last night was terrible, apart from Gordon. And I think questions really have to be asked about our fist-pumping manager.
I've got to say I agree about basically what every one of you have said there. It's one of the worst I've seen for lack. It seemed like lack of effort. Even with 20 minutes ago, half an hour ago, there was no urgency. Right, we're talking about the team. Did anybody have any problems with the starting lineup he went with? Dropping both fullbacks and sticking with Griffiths up front?
No, I was quite happy, to be honest. Whether it's Mulgrew or Izaguirre, I wasn't really championing, let's say, for Izaguirre to get dropped. I was delighted to start at Janko. And actually, I think Janko wasn't that bad last night. He wasn't the worst, I would say. He was probably the best outfield player. He generally looked, he was one of the only players that looked to get on the ball. And even at the end there, you've seen him a couple of minutes to go, hadn't he? You get the ball and skint a couple of players and try to get across into the box. I think he let himself down defensively, like so many of the other players. He just didn't really look comfortable. But no, the starting lineup I was happy with, and it should have been good enough to go and win that game. Or at least negotiate the tie.
Aye, I agree. I think everybody seemed pretty happy with the team. And obviously, the first half is. The most worrying thing was, it was from the start that we were on the back foot. I think we, fair enough, we went forward in the first minute or two, and that was about as close as we came in the first half, and then it was just total, they just totally dominated us. Like, I don't know how we can expect to get to the Champions League when we're that unorganised. It's like the lack of belief in the players seem to have in themselves. One of the quotes Dyla used after the Maribor game was frighteningly similar to what he used last night about being scared, and they looked a little bit frightened, I think, was these exact words after Maribor. And for that to be still happening a year on, I just think it's unacceptable.
You have to question why these players are feeling like that as well, because most of them have played in the group stages for Celtic. Most of them have been through these qualifiers for Celtic, so they know what it's like. So why would they be frightened and scared under the same manager 2 years in a row? And it's costing us. So you have to wonder, is it coming from the coaching staff?
Oh, I really don't know. Scunnett, to be honest. I really backed on getting the Champions League this year, even though I've got serious doubts whether we could actually compete in the Champions League, but obviously you'd rather be there than no. But I just think, Astrid, sometimes we overanalyse things as Celtic supporters. It's got to be the board's fault, it's got to be the manager's fault, but I just think it's the players last night. And I know you're saying his comments were similar and that's the second year the same thing's happened, but I don't even think Dyla today too much last night. Malmo gave us a team talk, and Malmo had done a team talk for us, and they didn't seem to respond to anything that Malmo had been saying all season. It was just very timid and tame, and they did look scared. And that's my biggest worry, was how easily Malmo made a fool of us. You know what I mean? We got humiliated last night.
So half time, we went in 1-0. Obviously, the big talking point at half time, what happened just before it was Celtic at a corner, one of the first of the game, swung in, and Arneson handballs it, and then Beaton puts the dropping ball into the net, and somehow the officials find that that's a foul against Celtic. Now, I'm not for 1 minute taking anything away with how bad most of the Celtic players played and how little they deserved a goal at that point, but surely that, I feel that could have been a turning point, especially to, for us to have scored right on the stroke of half-time and going at half-time, still ahead in the tie, I feel it could have been such a vital moment.
No, I agree. We would have went through. If we'd have got in at half-time at 1-1, we probably would have went through. It's a big talking point. I don't care. People bring up other things, but it's a massive talking point. And too often people say, when people bring up things that happened for Celtic, and we say, oh, what about this? And they go, that doesn't matter. We're talking about this moment. Well, if you're talking about that moment, it was either a penalty to Celtic and Arneson's off the park, or the ref plays the advantage and Celtic score, and somehow he contrived to give a free kick to Malmo. It was a total homer decision. It's the sort of decisions that have been going against us away from home in Europe for a while. Now, I think we would have went through if we'd have got in at 1-1, but that's me banking on Dyla getting something through to the players. What realistically probably would have happened is they were in at 1-1 and came out and just invited Malmo pressure until Malmo got their second goal, because that's what they did anyway. But there's no getting away from the fact that it's a massive decision that's went against us, and it's not just like a 50-50. It's stonewall. It's, you know what I mean, it's not something that I've seen them given or I've seen them go either way. We've been blatantly done out a decision there, but it can't even mask the fact that how bad we were. I think we would have got through if we'd have got in at half time, but it still wouldn't have. We wouldn't have came out 1-6-1. It didn't change the game.
Yeah,
much.
I think Danny's right as well. I think it was a shocking decision, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But at the same time as well, I do think we were extremely fortunate not to be down to 10 men before it. Griffiths should have been off, no doubt about it. And it was a really stupid thing he did. And we're all bigging him up last week. I know I get cut off in that pivotal moment, but I was bigging him up big time. And I thought, bit of bad things here. I thought Griffiths let himself down at the big stage, just, you know, when he really not proved it at that big, big stage when we really needed him to step up. And he really let himself down last night. At the other, you know, on the other point, he really didn't get a lot of service, and we just played, yeah, like 20 yards behind him. So I guess, again, the jury's still out on him, but he done himself no favours, and it was just a stupid thing to do. I think the ref had a howler for Malmo and, you know, for Celtic. And I guess the big thing for me was it 1-0 down at half time, and with the goal disallowed, I thought Dyla would have, you know, re-energised Celtic. Half time, you're a manager, you're in your keep, and you go, right, we've got this goal against us, let's go out there and, you know, show them. We don't, that's not going to affect us. we just came out in the second half with the worst ever pathetic attitudes, and watching that second half was like, honestly, reenacting the last 20 minutes of, you know, the last days for Saigon. It was horrendous. It was just relentless ways of attack against us, and it was horrible to see.
I agree, there were no response, no response at all to that decision, and that worries me as well. But I think we could have turned the telly off at 2-0. No, I mean, the time was finished at that point, because I don't know if Armstrong was injured, but to bring Commons on, I thought was a bad move at that time. And I thought he was largely anonymous, apart from picking the wrong pass when he'd somebody clear on the right, and obviously hitting his obligatory shot out of the bar. But I agree with you, Stevie, there were no response at all in that. That's really worrying. But they never had that siege mentality and that bit between their teeth to come out in the second half and say, you know what, if we need to go above and beyond to prove a better man, we'll do it. They seem to just accept the fact that they'll only get a decision against them. And on Griffiths, I think he let himself down more than anything else, because he's not done. It just plays to that people that don't believe in him play the character fact about him, and he's not the greatest of human beings to ever walk the earth, but he just played right into their horns last night. It was a pathetic, daft thing that you don't get away with anymore in football, because there's cameras everywhere. And you can't hit anybody anymore, because we all see it. And it was pathetic, and even though the Malmo player did make a wee bit much of it, but he should never have given him the opportunity. It's the exact same thing as Scott Brown the other year. He should never have given him the opportunity. And it just speaks to
I agree. In a way, I like seeing the aggression in strikers. I like seeing the heel moves of certain players and all that, but Griffiths at that stage, you know, it's all right doing all that, you know, when you're maybe in control of the tie. That was a point where, you know, we were really chasing the game. Griffiths get sent off there, they're completely done and dusted, and it was just the wrong time to do it. See if you're maybe, if it's one each or something, you know, or even if it was 0-0 at that point or something, you know what I mean? But it's, you know, at the start of the game, just to let them know you're there, get a bit flyer. But 1-0 down and being that blatant at that stage, you know, at that area of the pitch, it was madness. And I think obviously Hunter would say the same as well.
Absolutely, aye. It was crazy. And it's one of these things where, like Danny's saying, people will go back to his character, and it's probably right. He's done well at Celtic to screw the nut, because there was a lot of comparisons when he came with, oh, is it going to be like another Riordan? Is all these off-the-field stuff going to catch up with him and that? And you could see why people were saying that, but he's done well to kind of screw the nut, but stuff like that's just setting him back.
Aye, I totally agree. Like, I feel, at first glance, I didn't really see what the big deal was until you seen that replay. But it was just, for today, that in the halfway line where you've got a fourth official 6 or 7 yards away. Obviously, we lost the tie anyway, but for him to take a risk like that was just crazy. Right, so moving on to half-time, as Bruce says, the decision was made to bring Chris Collins on and he replaced Stuart Armstrong. Right, so Bruce has gave his opinion. He feels it was a wrong move. I didn't have a problem with it. I felt it was Commons was the right player to bring on. I just feel that Armstrong was the wrong player to bring off. I felt he was having an alright game. I don't know if he'd picked up an injury or if his hamstring had got tight again. But I felt the obvious move was to get rid of one of Brown or Johansson. I thought they were doing their best impression, the invisible man. And I felt the obvious thing to do would have been to bring one of them off and push Commons out wide, Armstrong in the middle. But obviously we went with Commons, so what did you make of the Commons, Hunter?
Probably, I probably agree with you, probably the right sub to bring on. Johansson should have had to be the guy going off. He's not been very good this season, I don't think, and he was poor again last night. I know people say, oh, he had the 2 assists in the first leg, but I don't really feel like he'd done much else. In the first leg, he had too many straight passes, not enough. I don't think he's offering enough. And he should have been the one to go off. The only thing I would say is that if Armstrong was injured, then fair enough. But it had to be Johansson. I've got no idea why. Well, I do know why. It's because he's the golden boy. And I think if stuff like this continues, he's going to start breeding resentment. I know he was the player of the year last season. But with all due respect, the Scottish League, I mean, it's easy for a guy like him to look like a superstar there. When it comes to the big games in Europe, I don't really think he's shown. And, I mean, he was anonymous at the start of last season as well. against Maribor home and away, and I just think that his presence in the team cost us, especially playing. Did he play the full 90? Because I turned it off before
yes.
the end. Yeah, I mean, playing the full 90, there's no chance he should have played the full 90 last night. He should have been off at half-time. It was glaringly obvious, and there you go.
I think you have been awfully unfair on Johansson. I mean, one of his biggest fans, as people know, but he was absolutely atrocious last night, and he hasn't started the season well. But you said he hasn't really performed in Europe for us, but last year, he kind of single-handedly made that Europa League group stage bearable. He dragged us into a lot of games. Salzburg at home.
We got pumped off Salzburg at home. He dragged us into the Astra game. That's the only game I can kind of... He scored the...
Yeah.
I think he scored the second because Skepovic got the first. But, I mean, that's the only game in Europe I can ever really remember Armstrong doing anything for us was that Astra home game, which was a terrible game.
It was a bad game, but he had a good game against Inter as well. And he played his part in the two goals that got us back into that game as well. And as you say, people are calling him a golden boy, right? And there is a bit merit to that, but he's worked himself into that position that Dyer trusts him to play him in these big games. And I think if he hadn't been in the team, people would be moaning that he isn't in the team because he was last year's player here. And I agree, he's no start of the season great, but I think you've been very unfair on him. And there's players that shouldn't have been in the team that are getting away with it.
I'm just going to favourite that and not add anything else to the conversation there.
Come back to it in May when he's a player a year again.
James, quote me on that, Hunter.
Stevie, what did you make a comment coming on for Armstrong?
Who else could I have brought on, really, as well? I mean, Mackay Stephen was my preferred shout, but he has, again, like Johansson, he's not started the season well at all. He was outstanding in pre-season. I thought he's going to absolutely tear it up. Since the league started, Mackay Stephen's been terrible, but probably Commons was maybe the mayor's Commons end shout, right? But Commons in the Champions League in general is always out of his depth. Now, I know he scored, you know, the penalty against Spartak to put us through in 12-13, fair enough. But other than that, Commons in general in the Champions League has always been found wanting. I can always remember he was anonymous against Spartak until the penalty goal, played very well against Barca. And other than that, like certainly in the games against like Maribor and Legia last season, Commons was so off the pace, he was so unfit, and he was found wanting. And last night, he just didn't really add anything at all. But he's not really added anything since he got that contract when his missus was shouting on about how, you know, he deserved one and everything, and Celtic caved. I know he scored against Rangers and it was a decent goal in that, but I just don't see what he could have done last night to change the game. He's not getting any pace. He's very one-dimensional. He's very one-footed. And if you're a half-decent opposition that are in the Scottish League, you're going to look at him and you're going to say, just put him onto his weaker foot. Always let sort of, if any 50-50 will be yours because he's got absolutely nothing else other than a half-decent dig when he's like 18 yards out. And again, I'm pretty much just answering your question here in the game with the other two guys where, okay, there was probably everybody to come on. It was our only option, but that's just showing you just how frail and just how thin the squad is now. It's quite depressing when he is the man to come on to change a game and it's so obvious he's just not going to be able to in that team and in that setup.
I'd have brought Mackay Stephen on for the fact that the game wasn't stretched enough to bring Commons on, and we should have played with two wingers and tried to at least combat Malmo. The game was far too tight up Celtic's end anyway, and well, at our attacking end, and Commons was only going to add to that. And I thought he was anonymous apart from these two glaring errors.
So moving on in the second half, we conceded the second goal, which just about killed the tie. It was from another corner. Now, if you look at that, that's all four goals that Malmo scored came from corners. Fair enough, one of them was from our own corner. But I just don't know how we're getting caught out again with that. Defending, the zonal marking, I've got my own opinion on it. I'm not a massive fan of it, but it can work. What did you make of the defending, Hunter?
Pish, in a word. I mean, I moaned about this last week, and then I moaned about it the week before the Kilmarnock game. We're giving away far too many goals. We done the same in Europe last season. We gave away an unbelievable amount of goals in Europe last season. It was just staggering. And I know we only conceded 17 in the league last season, but we came into this with a new defender in Boyata, yet to be convinced by Boyata, and we give away far too many soft goals. It's been a worrying trend all season, and a lot of people hark back to the Carabao game and kind of cited that as an example of, oh, well, we've done it in Europe before. That was a total one-off. You just have to look at the amount of goals we've conceded already this season, and it doesn't surprise me. Well, last night's defending didn't surprise me because we've just seen it far too many times.
Stevie?
Aye, well, the second goal was just an absolute shambles, and again, the fact that it's all the court, I don't know what they're going to be able to do to really work on it, because the defence is no doubt going to be chalked and changed again before the end of the transfer window. My best pal in the world, Van Dijk's, and they're likely going to be leaving. And then they're going to have to bring in someone quickly, someone half-decent and competent, and just going to have to obviously work on it. But it's easier said than done, because other teams will have that bit between their teeth. They'll notice this now, and they'll start saying, well, Celtic for corners are a general shambles, and that will be their main planning, and it's going to end up being our main weakness if we don't suss it out. I don't know how they do it, and I don't know how, just watching all the goals again, over the two legs, there's just no responsibility there at the back whatsoever. Everybody can go on about how we're going to be so much weaker and how much a superstar Van Dijk is, but if you look at the goals we've conceded, he's at fault for at least three of them out of four. He's just as part to blame as, like, you know, your Boyata and all that. And to me, I will be absolutely relieved when he's away. I know if that might be a certain other topic, right, but, and you just might not agree with it, but I can't wait just to get a normal basic defender in, somebody that will just get the ball and bloater it, instead of watching a guy that thinks he's far better than everybody else, man. It's going to be such a relief, and I'll probably start going to games again when he's away, and I'm not even kidding.
He is so far better than everybody else in the Scottish League, though.
It's like watching a first-year, it's like watching a first-year go, all right, I'll play with the P6s in school, because when he's in the first-year level, he knows that up, you know, in the second and third year and all that come up, he's going to get found out. I can't wait till Van Dijk goes into the Premiership. I genuinely, and you can dare quote me on this, Hunter part here, but I honestly think he's going to get found out where he goes. I really do.
He's going to be a boom song.
Definitely. Aye, you're right.
Be fine. He'll not be great, though. But I think he'll be fine.
I think he would be better suited down there as a defensive midfielder rather than an actual centre-back, because if he goes down there as a centre-back, then he'll get found out. I mean, look at how he done against fucking Edward O'Ferry in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup last season. He can't handle it.
Is nobody allowed to play one bad game?
He's had several bad games.
And it's always in big games.
Aye, it's the big games.
What's that for? He's still looking for a club or something.
Aye, he left Inverness, the bastard.
I get what you're saying about Van Dijk. He is obviously playing above his level. And it might be because he knows he might not hack it elsewhere. But I don't think he's got to be a flop down in England. I think if he's playing against better players every week, he can only get better. I just think the biggest problem is when we play in Europe with the zonal marking, is they don't anticipate, they just wait. And that's not how it's zonal mark. People blame zonal mark, but near enough every team does it. But they do it better than Celtic because we can't defend. We've not been able to defend for years. They don't anticipate balls coming into the box. First goal last night, was the guy just ran into the box and he did it. Now, has Gordon got to come out and command his area? Maybe. But Van Dijk just watches a guy run onto the ball. Same for the second goal. They just sit, stand in that zone and just wait. And they think, if I'm here, it doesn't matter because I'll get the ball away. They don't take enough responsibility for their zone, if you want to call it. I don't think, as you say, you want a defender that just blows the ball, but that's what Boyata is meant to be there for. And people are on his back because his passing's poor, apparently.
Well, in other days, well, we could just get a guy like Mark Reaper. That was the perfect defender. That was a defender that just made me happy watching football. The greatest defender Celtic have had in my generation. What a man. What a player.
No, I agree. I don't disagree with that. But I think the team dragged Van Dijk down to their level at times. Can't it be easy, haven't he? I mean, last year he was playing on the left. He covered a lot of his mistakes. I think he's a good player. will miss him when he's away. I know you will, mate, but I think the team will. And I'm dreading Boyata and Ambrose, or Boyata and Mulgrew, or Mulgrew and Ambrose.
I think we'll go out and we'll sign a defender, and far better players have left Van Dijk and Celtic have recovered.
No,
and
I personally
can't wait till he goes, because I won't be able to moan every week. And he brings me down, he makes me unhappy, and I hate myself when I watch him, so I can't wait till he's away, and I can be a wee bit happier with Celtic again. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel.
But you'll just find something else to hate.
I will hate you.
Probably already do.
Only love my brother, he'll heal.
No, I agree with Bruce. I think he'll do well then, if I must shut up. I think he does cover so much of your defence. If it wasn't for him and Gordon, I reckon... I know you're desperate for him to fucking... You'd take him down to Southampton if you could, but... I just feel... who are we going to sign that's going to be anywhere near as good as Van Dijk for the money we're going to spend now? Because that ball's only going to want to spend money. They don't need to.
Kelvin Tavernier.
World's greatest right-back, Tavernier.
John Souter from Dundee United.
What a goal he scored tonight. Did you see Tavernier's goal?
No, I don't watch...
Listen, mate, this is a Celtic podcast. We're not interested in the lower leagues, thanks.
Well, I'm sorry, but James Tavernier, to me, what a signing he would be, and it would be a fantastic heel move, but anyway...
wait a second, but you're fucking... Why do you think Van Dijk gets credit for his going forward, strolling forward in games, and you're praising a right-back because he's scoring...
No. Hold on a minute. Right, Van Dijk does it, and he, you know, strolls about and thinks he's some kind of elegant swan, but he's an ugly duckling. But James Tavernier, my brother, oh, what a player. He bombs forward with pace. I have not seen anything like it, man. What a diamond in the rough they've got. Tremendous.
He's playing against a team of guys who are out the day working full-time shifts. They're coming in the night playing Rangers.
And he's at the gym now. They're going to kick
him and everything. Honestly, he stands out like a sore thumb, that boy. He's tremendous. I could talk about him all day. James Tavernier is so superior to Van Dijk.
Did you not see their game on Saturday? Pips had all their best chances doing that left.
Are they played on Sunday, mate?
You would know.
I've seen...
Not right. What seriousness, right? I'm no... It was only a wind-up, not that. I don't know who Celtic will sign when Van Dijk goes away. My opinion, it'll be... We'll get Sunday in deadline day, maybe, if they...
Kelvin Wilson.
I'd bring him home, by the way. What a player.
I would bring him home up the road.
I'd have any problem if they were to bring a player of Wilson's ability. I think now you're seeing what a player he was. The season we had with him in that Champions League game, Barca in his pocket, and then we were struggling last night against that. So moving on, the rest of the game, Ronnie Dyla brought on Nadir Trifte in the 72nd minute and Gary McKay-Steven in the 80th minute. Do you feel they've done enough to try and take the game to Malmo? Because, to be honest, I thought they were vulnerable, and if we'd have scored with even 10 minutes to go, I feel that we could have been right back in it and had fully pressed on for the last 10. Bruce?
No, after the 70th minute, I was hoping we didn't score, because then I'd have just got my hopes up. Every time there was a long ball at the park, their defence crumbled. You seen that one where Griffiths went through in the first half and miscued it in his right foot, but never did enough to trouble him. Bringing Commons on was like waving the white flag for me, because you knew it was just going to be about him. Get out of the road and hope that he's one and 100 shots goes in, hopefully tonight, Saturday, evidently, wasn't he? Griffiths, that one he had in the volley, that's a half chance. Sometimes you only get him, and that's the only chances you get in Europe. He should have did a lot better. He should have made the keeper work and whatever. But they never did near enough, they never stretched Malmo. One thing that got me was when Janko got the ball, I think he got the ball about 3 times in the first half, and then it went to Beaton, and he'd all the time in the world when they had the ball, and the team didn't move up the park. They just seemed to stand there and say, right, well, what are you going to do with the ball? They didn't move up the park enough. They didn't get in behind Malmo. Forrest, we're all raving about him, and I see some people giving him a pass mark for last night, but I don't see it. I thought he beat his man once. Didn't he take him on again? Tried to cut inside too often. He went on a mad run. He should have passed it. Never passed it. Seems to me that he doesn't cross the ball enough. He doesn't shoot enough. He'd won the first half. He hit his left foot right at the keeper, which was unlucky. But he did a poor game last night. But they just don't do enough to trouble teams. It's just like... And I raved about the Carabao performance. But I genuinely think that it was a case of them no scoring, them no doing enough to trouble Celtic, rather than Celtic keeping them out now, because when we go away from home in Europe, it seems to just be, right, we'll just go to Stone here, and if you can't score, that's your problem, but we're going to just keep getting the chances, and we're not going to do anything to try and stop you. And they never, the game should have been opened up after about half an hour at Wisney, and we seem to just be, it's as if we didn't know we were out until we were 2-0 down, but we were out at 1-0. And they didn't really need enough to try and get themselves back in the game, bar that, obviously, that mad goal.
Hunter?
By the time they came on, the whole team had already given up. I don't think there was any substitutions that would have changed the game. The whole team was flat, and for me, the game was over. As soon as the second goal was in, that was it. It was game over. I didn't see us scoring, and like Bruce said, even if we had scored, we'd have only got hopes up. We wouldn't have done anything else. We wouldn't have got a second. Malmo would have probably went on and got a third, so, nah.
Stevie?
Nah, just what the other two guys said, we didn't do anything at all, and the game was over. As soon as we came out for the second half, I think it was evident, as soon as, you know, a minute in, Malmo were well more up for it than us, and it just begged the question, as I said all last season, in the big games, like, Dyla plays the same way, it's he's got the team fairly fit, and they all know the same system, but there's no tactical tweak, there's, you know, none of the plan B, and last night was crying out for just a change or something, and it was like Malmo already had his red, they knew the way we were going to play, they knew the tempo we were going to play it, and it just played right into their hands, and it's the same things you keep seeing all the time in the big games for Dyla, and it's just so frustrating. You know, there's only so much being like this cult of personality can get you so far, and it's now got to the point people are asking genuine questions, and certain people, John Reid, might be vindicated in everything they've said about Dyla, and it doesn't, you know, give me great pleasure to say all that, but it's really getting to the point where, you know, can you actually argue with this now?
Why didn't, just for instance, right, just for argument's sake, why, when he took Armstrong off, why did he not put Chiefs Joe on and go to two up front? Because we were out at 1-0.
I don't know either, Danny, but it's a fair shout. I mean, I don't know why we didn't just go 4-4-2 or something.
3-0, but we were out at 1-0. That's my biggest thing about Dyla, is that I'm one of his biggest fans, and I think the talks under pressure are going or a wee bit on a tap, but it's evident now that there isn't a plan B, and you can't get through in Europe without a plan B, because it's not always going to work. Like, even Lennon, when we played Spartak Moscow, brought Forrest on, and it changed the game. Aye, alright, they got a man sent off, but, you know, we probably would have played out a two-man defeat if he didn't bring Forrest on. He took Wanyama off, it was a big decision. Beaton, I would have took off last night. I thought he was atrocious as well. And he was running about kicking people, which isn't like him. And I just think, why did he not bring Chiefsy on and go, right, we've got to go to up front. We're going to give Chiefsy and Griffiths 45 minutes to at least try and fold your partnership.
I agree, Danny. It's a case of, you would rather see the manager trying something. You know, if it doesn't come off and we go out, all right, we're still raging, but you're like, all right, we tried something, but he just stuck to the same thing, and I know I said it before. Yeah, Malmo just read it like a book, and it just made that Malmo manager look like, you know, like an egosaki or something, as if it was an absolute, you know, masterclass. The worst part for me is the fact that he didn't even make that goalkeeper work. He was terrible. He was absolutely rotten.
I've made my feelings quite clear, like, in public about Dyla. I still think he's the man for the job, but last night, again, was the first time I've really questioned him, like, in terms of, there wasn't a plan B. Like, 20 minutes to go, we were all just saying, oh, we're just waiting on Van Dijk getting flung up front. But it's just, I thought the lack of urgency was crazy. It's like you say, it's as if they didn't know they were going out with 2-0.
You know, take a short corner or a short free kick or something? We have about 20 minutes to go. I just summed up my thoughts.
The only time we get men in the box in the last 20 minutes was basically the last kick of the ball. Well, I know it was absolutely irrelevant, but they swung the ball in the box and it came off a Malmo hand again, but the ref blew the whistle 10 seconds later, so it wasn't really spoke about, but there was nothing. Like, some of the blame was right getting held at Dyla there. For me, the biggest culprit last night in terms of trying to get that team up and trying to lead them was Scott Brown. I thought he was absolutely atrocious. He didn't get to scream in somebody's face tonight, so that means that you actually have to look at his performance and people will talk about his performance. I thought, because seeing Carabag as well, I thought he was having a really poor game until the 20 minutes to go when he did start getting in people's faces. But I thought he was just so anonymous last night.
He's man enough to come out and say that he had a poor game though. He said that it was a shame to sell. And you've got people like Collins coming out and saying, oh no, I did my best. And people were defending Collins saying, oh, he's just defending his teammates. But as we spoke about last week, he threw Ambrose under a bus after Juventus because the manager was his pal. And now the manager isn't his pal, he's out disagreeing with him in public. And your players, every player, even Scott Brown should shut their mouths. Their performance did the talking last night and it wasn't very good. As you say about Brown, I need to agree last night. I don't agree in Carabag, I thought it was a good game. But aye, the shouting in people's face, and that, I agree to a certain extent. But last night it was atrocious. But the whole team were atrocious. I genuinely can't single out one man for last night. But as you say, as a captain, it wasn't very good last night. But just you say about the second combo, Griffiths and Commons ran after the official behind the goal instead of chasing the ball. The game was already done. The attitudes we saw wrong last night. Maybe that does lie with the captain. Okay, I don't know. I'm actually going to do it. I'm 24 hours later. I'm still trying to really. I don't think you can blame anybody singly. They're all to blame.
Hunter?
Aye, Brown was pretty awful. I find it really difficult because when we don't play Brown, I think you really notice his absence, but he was terrible last night. And for a player of his experience, and for a player who's played in the group stages a couple of times for us, you know, it's his job to drive him on, and he was just totally anonymous last night. And that's the kind of game where you really need your captain to lead by example, and he didn't do that, and it's really frustrating. And then obviously, like we mentioned last week, he totally sold the first goal with his poor header. And I'm just a bit scunnered.
Stevie, what did you make of Scott Brown last night?
Well, in general with Scott Brown, I do think, it's like Hunter says, you notice him when he doesn't play, and we do miss him. But I think in general, Scott Brown, you know, as a technical footballer, is very limited. And you're not going to get a lot out of him in terms of creativity, in terms of passing a ball. You're just going to get non-stop winding up other teams and just being an absolute dick, which is fine, because, you know, it's like the way, you know what I mean, fucking Busquets and all that is and all that as well. Every team needs a sort of player like that, and Brown's ours. But if he's not doing that, and he's not doing it effectively, he literally offers you nothing, because you're not going to get a lot of goals out of him. You're not going to get 25-yard strikes out of him. And he's not going to open up a defence with a pass, so you really are relying on him just to be an absolute dickhead when the pitch turned up, and when he's not doing that at all. He is just completely anonymous, and, you know, it's worrying because 90% of his game is just being an out-and-out prick. And obviously it suits him in that, but last night he was completely... It's not just Brown, no. Beaton and Johansson, all three of them in midfield, were completely bullied. And you're not one of the Malmo players. It's not as if, like, in the past, Brown's been completely outclassed by, you know what I mean, like Romulo at Spartak and like Pirlo and all that. That's fair dues. But last night, there was not, like, an ex-Aberdeen player or something. And other just studies for Malmo, with the greatest of respect and all that, just completely overshadowed everything Brown and the rest of the guys did. And it was really poor. So I agree with the other two guys, like, anonymous and really, really ashamed, man. But at least Brown did come out and say it, so fair enough.
That was the end of the game. We were at Celtic lost 4-3 in aggregate. Where do you see Celtic as a club right now, and where do you go for the season upcoming? Bruce?
We're a Europa League team now, aren't we? Yeah. I don't think that we're not fairly surprised at that. But we're hampered by surroundings and stuff, you know what I mean? But we need to make the best of what we get, and we don't get very much. We get cast-offs for England, we get people that don't want to come, that have not proved themselves yet, that are trying to get a move to England. Like, you know, your Van Dijks and that. So as we are kind of hamstrung by our surroundings, but we don't, as a club to go forward, we do need to invest money, not to beat teams like Malmo, but to gaze, to make sure that we're not struggling. I hate all this starting again at this, at the next season. The reason that Lennon qualified twice is because the first year they got two, we only had to play two qualifiers and they get two favourable draws, and we played well. But the second time we qualified is because we didn't need to start again. Feels like we're having to start again, even this year. It's like a whole new start, and it's not good enough. We should be prepared for these games, and I'm not saying that for last night it lies with the board, because obviously it doesn't. But, well, it does a bit, but the buck stops here because the manager. But to go forward, they need to buy players they know to play next year. Last year, their response was getting all these loan players in, although they did make for two exciting deadline days, which is different than a Celtic supporter. To go forward, they need to get a centre-half in. Well, two now, because if Van Dijk's got to go, they need to. Because they need competition for places. We need a striker, because I don't think Chief G and Griffiths, between the two of them, are going to score enough goals in Europe. We've no been a top European team for a long time, and we weren't there when we had players like Larsson and Viduka and Mravjic and all that. When Sutton and all that came and Anil came, we were a really good team and we could compete with anybody. But now we're talking about getting to Champions League, the fact that you're getting free stadium full of season, you know, you're getting to see some of the best players in the world, as in actually expecting to beat them. So, obviously, you want to be in the Champions League, right? That's obviously unquestionable, but we've got to be in Europa League. We've probably got to be playing three teams that are, if no better, and is on a par. So, that's your level. And, you know, as you said earlier on, the pot four for the Champions League isn't great, and we're probably as good as a few teams in there, but we're not going to be playing any of these teams. And I'm having, right now, this second, I'm looking at the teams in the Europa League. And in pot three, there are 12 teams in there, and I think about 9 of them are better than the 3 teams that we played last year in the Europa League. And in pot four, it's just away trips that we wouldn't like. I think there's at least 8 or 9 teams that are better than Astra in that group as well. So it's got to be tough, man. It's not as if we're going into Europa League and playing in a lesser competition in relative to our standard. So, if people are thinking we're going to make a big splash in Europa League, then the team will be voted for it. Because the team getting in the mirror will just get put out in the group stages.
Stevie?
I don't really know where we are as a club. Like, I think there's a lot of Celtic fans that are extreme in equal measure. Like, you know, those ones that are completely delusional and they still, you know, portrayed us in the past glories and think just because we've won the European Cup, we are an absolute heavyweight. By default, we are huge. And on the other hand, there's people that, you know, think we're an absolute tiny club. I just think we're somewhere in between. And Europa League, probably, is our standard. I'm not going to scoff at that Europa League thing, because a lot of Scottish people do it. And I think it's mental when you see Europa League after the group stages. Just pretty much every team generally wants to win it. And then you get some Celtic fans that are just scoffing at it. But I guess we are a Europa League team, and in a way, maybe it's a relief we didn't get in the Champions League. I know we're all furious about it still, but just seeing that team in the group stages, would have been like Salo or something, man, it would have been horrible to watch, and it would have just been reminiscent of Lennon in his last season as well, which was spineless as anything. So to answer your question, I guess Europa League is pretty much at the level as a team and as a club stature. I guess we are just middle of the road. I don't know if Hunter agrees on them.
I think we should be a Champions League team. If Malmo can do it 2 years in a row, if teams like Astana can make it, Bati Borisov every year are in there, then why should we not be in there? I just feel like since a certain team disappeared out of our league, there's been this emphasis on downsizing. And I know that the club budget for Europa League, I know that's like a fact. They don't budget for the Champions League. It's always the Europa League. and I just think we treat the Champions League as a bonus, and we have no divine right to get there. But we should be beaten. But in the champ, the way we're in the Champions route, we're always the seeded team. Yeah, we should be getting in to the Champions League every year. Maybe that's a bit of arrogance and hubris on my part, but I think we should try as a support. We put in enough money, and there's enough season ticket holders, and the stadium sells out for all these games. We deserve to, and as a support, I feel like we deserve to be there. But I just think the ambitions of the High Hedians doesn't match the ambitions of the fans, and I just think they would rather just happily plod along and give us the same, oh, you know, it's hard to contend with England and whatnot. But I mean, if teams like Malmo can make it, then we should be making it. And I know it is difficult having England on your doorstep, and if you look at the transfer budgets in England, we are totally dwarfed. But this is where our scouts should be making their money. Look at the amount of teams in Holland that are about our stature that can pick up these really good players. You know, we should be doing the exact same.
Right, and I'm just going to ask you this, right? Do you think that Etienne would have beat Malmo off two legs to get into Champions League?
Yes.
Well, in the Europa League, they're the bottom-ranked team, a pot below us, right? Which makes us not beating them even worse, right? I agree with you 100% on that. But as a club, as you say, they budget for Europa League, so that's all they're going to get. People are saying we should have, I see people now saying, oh, we should have took the Van Dijk money to start the summer and all that, but I just think we keep hamstring ourselves when it comes to Champions League, but we treat it as a bonus. And I think that's because, realistically, we're not going to compete there, but we want to be there. And it's a kick in the balls not to be there, because Malmo won the great, and as you say, if they can do it 2 years in a row, we should be doing it every year. And let's be honest, it's not going to be any easier for us with that Champions route, you know what I mean? They're basically getting it on a plate.
Financially, it's massive for us, and it can be the difference in us attracting a higher quality of player. And actually, I mean, whether we would spend the money or not is a different matter, because I think this is all a big smokescreen sort of thing, you know, say, oh, well, you know, well, we've got targets in mind, and it all just depends on if we get to the Champions League, players don't want to come unless we've got it. But you look traditionally, like the last couple of years, whenever we have made the Champions League, and we've known that, who do we actually go out and sign of any kind of stature and spend decent money on? We signed Pukki for what, 2-3 million, and he was awful. We signed.
Well, what you say, Jake Pukki? Could you imagine Pukki holding us to ransom about getting into the Champions League?
It's unreal.
I don't believe for a second Timo Pukki said, if you don't get in the Champions League, I'm not signing for you. And if he did, then his agent, him and his agent, are a lot smarter than I thought they were.
Look at the year before, who was it we brought in? Miku on loan, Lassad on a free. So it's not as if we do take this Champions League money and then, right, okay, here you go, here's 4 or 5 million, go out and get a decent player, or here's 6 million, go out and get 2 decent players, a 4 million, a 2 million. And I understand it's getting harder and harder to pick up players in that price range, but I mean, teams across Europe seem to be able to do it, so I don't know how we can't. I just feel like our scouting network at the moment's a bit uninspired. And I know we've brought guys like Wanyama and Beaton through, but I don't know. I'm just a bit fed up.
One of the things I've got to add is, you mentioned the club that isn't in the same division as us anymore. I feel it really doesn't help us, the fact that there is a real lack of competitive edge. Like, I feel the team in the last few years, they're not tested enough, and that's why in these certain semi-finals, certain qualifiers, they just don't know how to get up for a big game. And that's, I don't know if that'll improve, because if next season when Rangers are promoted, like, I don't know if it will get back to that, because obviously you're getting not much help from the other Scottish teams in Europe for the seeding, whereas, well, maybe not in the last season in the top league, but before that you're always getting at least some coefficient points added. But I don't know what that's going to, what it's going to be like when they're back, because obviously unless they win the Scottish Cup, they're not going to get European football next season either.
If our PLC has done its job, Rangers shouldn't be anywhere near competitive with us next season.
But they will be.
They will only be.
They'll be top.
It'll be the exact same as it is this year and as it was last year and as it was the year before, because it wasn't competitive last year. It will not be competitive when they come back, because we're not playing them every week. You're still playing the other 10 teams in the Scottish League. And aye, at the back of their minds, they might be saying things like, oh, if we don't win this week, we'll be maybe a point behind Rangers. But that's not going to be there for the next couple of years. I don't think, anyway. It's not going to bring back any.
I agree with Danny.
It's not going to bring back any instant competitiveness.
No, I agree.
And as you say about downsizing, Hunter, the downsizing started long before they went out of existence.
No, I absolutely agree. You can see when it started. And it was a long time before they went out of existence, but it just seems a bit more extreme.
Oh, definitely. But it's as if they think they got away with it because what happened to Rangers. And obviously it has quickened the last 3 years, but I've seen a couple of people say, did we miss them? But I don't think we miss them because the competitiveness still wouldn't be there if they were in the league than now, in my opinion.
Maybe I'm overestimating them, but I still reckon they're better than 90% of the SPL teams at present. And I reckon if Rangers this time next year were in the position Hearts are, the fans wouldn't accept it and the players would be under more pressure. But the fact that what I was meaning was the last two or three seasons in the big semi-finals, in the qualifiers, I don't know whether it's doing a previous manager, this manager, the players, they just don't seem to be able to get up for a game. Or when they go behind, one of the things that I've got a massive problem with was I remember when we were in the Stratton team, you'd always fancy them to go to the whistle, and you just don't even, there's nothing like that in this team. I never fancy us, see if we go behind late in the game or concede, I never fancy us to come back for that.
See, apart from Gaudetti's goal against Inter, when's the last time we scored a late goal?
Van Dijk in the greatest win since 1967 up at Pittodrie.
Before that,
I have no idea.
It was the same under Lennon as well, but it's not as if it's just been since Dyler came in.
No, that's what I'm saying. Since Stratton, I've not seen a team pop that in. I'm like, there was a video on YouTube, and it was a Stratton team, and it was about 6 minutes long, and it was last minute goals.
And that was awesome.
I think Darren's right, and I think the reason it is because of the competitive edge. Because when Stratton was a manager, you know, it was always not right, 05, 06 and 06, 07, right ass, but 07, 08 was classic, because week to week, you weren't sure what the Rangers score was. It was alternating, first and second place. Same for large parts of 08, 09 as well. And as a result, obviously, there's no competitive edge. Dan's completely right. I think Celtic really need it. I mean, Hearts and Aberdeen this season, okay. I know they started well. We all know what's going to happen by October, November. It'll be the same as last season. We'll be way ahead and, you know, it'll be a complete light off again for the season as of January.
No, but I think we need to kind of underestimate is how much of a joke Rangers have been the last 3 years. Aye, alright, this year they look as if they've got their act together. But in the last 3 years, they would have offered nothing to the Premier League. So
yeah, maybe, you're right, Danny, I agree.
This year they've got their act together, it would look like, but I still don't think when they come up, if they probably will come up this year, I don't think they'll transform Celtic into being able to go to Malmo and win.
Moving on, we've got under a week now to the transfer window closes. Who do you see leaving, and where do you feel we need to strengthen before the deadline? Bruce?
Defence and attack. Yeah. I would sign two central defenders, and I know this is dead original, but I'd go to Dundee United. I'd get the boys suit up. And I know Celtic going to Dundee United never happens, but I quite like that boy, and I thought he did a really good game on Saturday against us. I would like a left back, but I would get a central. I would get two central defenders before I signed that at a left back. Who do I see going? I think obviously Van Dijk's as good as away. I don't think anybody else will leave. I don't think we're desperate for the money, but if we were, we could probably punt a player like Beaton or Johansson. But I don't think anybody else will go except Van Dijk. For the first team, Deadwood, Will Fisher's away to St Johnston. Skepovic will probably leave. And that'll have no bearing on us getting a striker or no. I think he'll go if there's an offer. Probably back to Spain on loan. And we can forget about him for a year. I don't think the squad's big enough to get rid of too many players. Unless a daft, funny money bid comes in for any of them. But we need to strengthen. And I think Berigter will go if anybody, God willing, shows an interest. But I don't think we're going to go inside six players next week. But three are essential, two defenders and a striker.
Van Dijk, obviously. Stokes, I think, will go. Brigter, Skepovic. Don't really know if there's anyone else. I think we might see. Nah, I don't know. I don't think there's anybody else that I can think will definitely go. In terms of coming in, I think we need a striker, a centre-half, maybe even two, and a left-back as well. Though I would like to see young Tierney maybe get a chance at left-back. But I don't know. What we'll probably do is sign some centre-half, sign some obscure Badr El Khadouri left back on loan, and maybe some, I don't know, some striker, some foreign striker who's just, I don't even know if we'll sign a striker actually, but I think we need to get one in.
Don't forget a mad obscure third choice goalkeeper.
Oh, aye, Lubos Kamenar.
Oh, something
Victor Noren.
Hey, Stevie.
I think we should sign Package Abbey, James McPeak and John Baird.
John Baird.
No, no seriousness. For me, a left-back, a centre-half. And I was going to say a striker. I mean, we've got Shifty. Do we actually need another striker, I take it then, eh?
I think it depends if Stokes and Skepovic go. I think we would definitely need one if they do go.
Can we not just re-sign Paul Slane?
For Frankie and Benny's.
What a worker, by the way.
Great commitment to the biz. The fast food biz.
We might draw Ajax in Europa League. That'd be perfect.
I am much the same. I reckon Van Dijk's for certain going. I reckon likes your Stokes, Brigter hopefully. Possibly Skefovic as well. I honestly don't know if we'll bring in a lot, because this team will get by. Spoke about players who might be leaving. There was some talk from some sections of the sport that Ronnie Dyle is now under pressure. Do you think that he is under pressure? And if so, what does he have to achieve this season to keep his job? So start with Bruce.
It isn't any debt this year to keep his job. He has to qualify for the Champions League next year. Then you can start asking questions. Because if we were to compare him to his much maligned, much adored predecessor, it took him his first season to get the Champions League. Aye, alright. Lennon took her for the Mowbray shambles, but Braga was still a shambles, and Sion, I know it was Europa League, but it was still a shambles. So I think he's entitled to three goals, but it is a case of three strikes in Europe. And I think it'd be rash this year, because guy's only been in a job a year, let's be honest. And he is trying to build something. But if it's the same mistakes for a third year, as much as I love him, making somebody else, it's somebody else got to be given that opportunity to the team further. Because I've been back this team, I hope we can win a treble this year. But that, to me, would, if he wins a treble, it would maybe buy him another 6 months. But if he was to fail at the Champions League, let's be honest, the treble would be forgot about if he was to fail next year. So nothing this year, it's all about the Champions League for me next year. Well, I wouldn't sack him in August, but I would tell him that he isn't taking the team into the next years Champions League, and no matter what he did, even if he won the treble, beating Rangers in two of the cup finals, and winning the league by 100 points, you'd need to say, no, you've had 3 goals at the Champions League, and you've wasted them all. So you're working your notes to the end of the season.
Stevie?
Well, Ronny Dyla said a year ago, after the Maribor game, judge me after a year. It's been a year, and again, he has let us down at the Champions League stage. He's not learned anything in Europe from last year, it seems. And for me, he's not going to be under pressure, because he's too much marketable to, and money to be made off him with his stupid T-shirts and all that crap it comes with. Again, he's not going to be under any sort of pressure and stuff, and I really can't see. You're watching the network?
Who the fuck's getting a network on?
What's going on?
What's this, Brers?
Who's getting a network on?
Great American Bash 97.
Oh, fantastic. Can we just talk about the wrestling instead of dial off, that sort of thing?
Then you will, Ronaldo.
No, I mean... Ronnie Dyla. It's true. But talks about the three eyes and all that, and we'll do it. I see it.
Hey, so, Stevie, do you feel he's not under pressure? Or he is?
No, I don't think he is under pressure. I mean, for certain elements of the support, like, will be, journalists now have the nice writing for him. But I don't think he'll be under any pressure. I think he'll still win the league convincingly. I imagine he'll do another double. I don't think he'll do a treble, though. This season, I think he'll do another double. And just personally speaking, after a year now, I've judged him in the Champions League twice, and I don't think he's going to learn a third time. I would cut my losses at the end of the season, getting a dinosaur of a manager who knows what they're doing for that level, and knows how to take the sting out game, knows how to change the tempo, and knows how to be smart, basically, for these matches. And so short term, when I get rid of him, he's going to obviously do it at the end of the season, but I would definitely cut my losses then and go with a manager far more experienced, because we can't miss out in the Champions League for a third year in a row. It would be absolutely unforgivable.
Hunter? I do think he's under pressure. I don't think he'll get sacked, not this season anyway. I do think he'll be under pressure. I think people, i.e. your Lawwells, will be, they can't themselves afford this team to miss out in the Champions League. So I think they'll be having, I think he'll have a few words, because his target each year should be to make the Champions League. I know they probably do budget for Europa League, like I was saying earlier, but the target should be to make the Champions League. He's failed 2 years in a row now. He's had 3 chances to do it in those 2 years, and he's failed. What does he need to do, I think, to win back some element of the sport? I think he needs to do a treble, because I think there was people who wrote him off last season who still, even after winning the double, didn't rate him, and now going out to the Champions League again, they'll just use that against him. So I think he kind of really does need a treble. And I think he'll get a crack at the Champions League again next season. But if he doesn't make it, then I agree. Then that's his time up. Really, what he needs to have is a respectable run in the Europa League now, and try and get the treble.
I agree with that. I actually do feel he is under a bit of pressure as well. Writing a treble is almost expected now. Plus, I reckon we, at the very least, we're going to need pot 2 of that draw, and I reckon we really need to be qualifying from a group. I know there's going to be difficult teams, and it's not going to be easy. Celtic Park probably won't be full unless we draw an English team or some top-class team, but I can't really see it. I reckon, much like after Maribor last year, there's so many people ready to stick their knife in and have a go at them. Like, it's not been like that in the last 6 months.
Let's be honest, were people delighted we could beat last night?
Celtic fans?
Aye, because they want that opportunity to say, I told you so about Dyla. And as you say, I don't think the treble's expected, because we've only done it a handful of times. But I do, we need to put a better fight up this year in the Europa League. last year's Europa League was pitiful, and somehow we went through. And I defended Dial at the time, and I still would, because he got through, that was the objective, but it wasn't very good watching. I don't think he's under pressure, though. I don't think he can be under pressure. I think, all right, he's had 3 goals if we count the 2 exits last year. Although, the Maribor game, League Year were just a better team, man, as I don't think that was anything to Dyla. And Maribor was obviously, I think, still the players' fault, like last night. My fault with Dyla is that players were so bad they never had a plan B. But when we're talking about Dyla under pressure, I think it will be a case of if he doesn't get in next year, he'll work his notice to the end of the season. Looking at the Europa League now, the teams really don't like Borussia Dortmund, because probably take about 12 off us. Wouldn't name it or Schalke. I wouldn't mind Villarreal for a trip in Port 1. I'm not going to go for every team, don't worry. But there are a lot of good teams in that Europa League, and it is a good competition, I agree with Stevie. So fair, it's not to be sneezed at. I think we can get through looking at the teams. But see what we were in the Champions League under Anil and Stratton, when you thought, we're going to get a great team out of Port 1, and then we're going to get teams that we can compete with. And then, obviously, with that year, we get AC Milan, who got in the final, and we get Barcelona, who just spent about 100 odd million in a new team for Rijkaard, and we get Shakhtar, who'd spent about 40 million on a new team. We got unlucky that year, right? We were pretty poor in the Champions League that year under any, but that's what we are now in the Europa League, because we're going to get a team that are far better than us out of Pot 1. We're in Pot 2, and the teams in Pot 3 are not going to be 3 and 4, not going to be gimmies. So we've now become that team in the Europa League, and that's actually quite sad when you look at it like that. And the more I talk about it, the more I'm depressed myself, so I'm going to shut up.
I had a tweet today. I think looking at the pots, we could get a group which is something like Borussia Dortmund, Monaco, or Besiktas, and Southampton, which would be an absolute group of death.
I'll go through the teams in pot 4, right? Slovan Liberec, we should probably be able to beat them, but they'll not be easy. Southampton, if they're not taking it seriously, I mean, that Matilan mob could beat them tomorrow night, but then they'd probably beat Augsburg, were actually quite good in the Bundesliga last year. Rapid Vienna gave us a bit of a doing for the last time we played them, but we somehow came back and drew that game. Krasnodar, trip to Russia, they'd probably beat us. Partizan Belgrade, a bit of a mad trip. Asterisk Tripoli in Greece, probably should be able to beat them. But non Celtic, they won Belenenses for Portugal. Groningen, Sion, which would be fun, because it doesn't matter who Sion get, whoever Celtic gets, Sion will probably just turn up and play them anyway. Genderbo, who get knocked out after Dynamo Zagreb. And it says Astana here, but did Astana win tonight?
Aye, Astana went through.
Aye.
So who did they beat? Apoel Nicosia?
Yep.
Aye.
They'll probably go into Pot 4. Or Pot 3, because they've actually done quite well in Europe recently. The teams in Pot 3 are even scarier. Besiktas, Monaco, Young Boys, who took about 4 off as a friendly years ago. Sparta Prague, who are an old bad team. Fenerbahce, who Infinite are a good team. Just signed players like Van Persie and all that. Standard Liège, who we should beat because they're actually really poor. Ligia Warsaw, we all know about them. Bordeaux, good team. Lokomotiv Moscow, a good team. Panathinaikos are good. Lech Poznan are alright. Saetian are alright. I mean, that's 24 teams that are meant to be below us. And I would say we're no much better than any of them, if at all any better.
I'm just sitting howling here because can you imagine the reaction, but if in Pot 3 if we get Young Boys, man, the amount of shady parts going to come out.
Trust, I knew you were going to say that. In Pot 3, though, I mean, they're teams that, let's be honest, every team in Pot 1, 3 and 4 are probably looking at Pot 2 and going, Gay Celtic, or that Pilk mob for Greece, or Victoria Pilsen, probably. But they'll be saying if we get Celtic, it's a good draw. So, we need to be up for it in this Europa League.
Aye, that's one of the things I was speaking about today. Like, a lot of people in Scotland, for some reason, take a lot of interest in how the English teams play in the Europa League. And because they play their second teams and throw it, they seem to think it's a poor competition. Like you've just said, the amount of teams in there, it's a good competition. And if we can get the team together and actually have a good go at it, like, there's definite ways that can improve our team.
Look at the way, look at them in Sevilla. They take it serious. They'll probably go. They'll be gutted. They'll know in it to win it again. But they go mental when they win it.
In the group.
Well, let's look at the last few winners. You've got, I think, when Atletico Madrid have won it twice, Sevilla's won it twice, Porto and Chelsea have won it. It's good teams. And plus, the thing, right, I'm not for 1 minute right now saying that Celtic are going to go and win it. But see, if you win the Europa League and the Champions League winners win the Champions League, you automatically qualify for the group stage.
Well, that might be Ronnie Dyla's best chance at getting in the Champions League.
Oh, you heard Mancini last year when he came to Celtic. That was how he was planning the day, I saw.
And Mancini is an absolute idiot, but so you can't...
See, when it gets to, as you say, last 16, though, it's usually... there's about three German teams, Sevilla and another Spanish team, and you get the kind of tricky outsiders like Basel and player Dnipro and all that, right? So they do take it seriously, but it's 12 groups of four, man. It's a bit kind of overkill with the Europa League. But if you can get into that last 32, last 16, the teams, they start to take it seriously. But Sevilla will probably finish third in the Champions League group just to win the Europa League.
Right, aye, so that's us went on a bit now. So I think we'll call it a day at that. So we will be back after the transfer window shuts and we've been drawn in there. Europa League group.
Yeah, sorry, is Hunter still alive or is he watching the network? Is he glued on it?
No, I'm watching Mallrats now.
Right, so we will be back after the Europa League draw and the transfer window is shut to see how Celtic have came out in the transfer window and preview the Europa League. So I'll pass you over to the guys who will let you know where you can find them. Bruce?
Yeah, Bruce Hillboy on Twitter. Not for the faint-hearted or the patter police, because usually my patter's absolutely dreadful.
Hunter?
Yeah, I don't do poetry with John Reed anymore, so... can any reason. Just follow me, I pity.
Find my Twitter at copper_blue.
Bastard, I was going to say that.
Up you. Or at James_Hunter91.
And Stevie?
Cheers for listening. My Wi-Fi has been good tonight, so you can find me at P. McGoylampin if you want, alright?
The company.
Delete that.
And you can find me at Barca Boy. I can find me at OC Boy. Haters, welcome. And if you've made it this far, we've got nothing but respect for you. Cheers for listening.
Surrender.